5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Crime with Holly. I'm your host, Crimeaholly. As you can see from the title of today's episode, I have another unsolved murder case for you guys. I've said it previously in other episodes, but I want to just say it again. I know there are people who do not enjoy listening to unsolved cases or cases about the missing because they lack closure and it's human nature to want answers. However, there is a purpose for continuing to share these stories, and my mission with my podcast and my platform is to not only bring awareness to all cases, but to potentially help someday. Some of these unsolved cases lack the exposure that they so desperately need and deserve. This is someone's loved one that deserves justice, and their family deserves answers. And these violent individuals need to be put in prison. I don't take sharing any case lightly, but I am very passionate about the cases that lack answers, so I will continue to share these in hopes that it may help. All it takes is one person to come forward with information to blow a case wide open, and today's case is one of those that is completely solvable. The clear image of the killer on surveillance footage is like nothing I've ever seen before, yet it's still unsolved. So the more exposure and more people sharing her story can help. And that is why I will continue sprinkling in unsolved cases into my episode lineup. More exposure means more possible answers for the family. With all of that said, I will get off my soapbox and dive into the details. Today's episode is on the unsolved, brutal murder of Shelby Thornburg. Shelby Jean Thornburg was born on August 18, 1995 to Robert Elwood Thornburg Jr. and Leslie Jean Crocker. She was the youngest of two girls, and her older sister's name is Christina. Now, life for Shelby and Christina wasn't easy at all. Leslie and Robert had a rocky relationship, and that's putting it lightly. They were constantly on again, off again, and during one of their off periods, Leslie actually became pregnant with Shelby. Of course, their cycle repeated and Leslie and Robert got back together despite Leslie being pregnant with another man's child. Robert was not a fan of the idea of raising and taking care of another man's child. However, despite his feelings, he sounds like he eventually came around to the idea. And his name was put on Shelby's birth certificate as her father. Now, even though his name was on the birth certificate and he was Christina's father, he really wasn't around the girls all that much when they were little. During their younger years, Robert was in and out of jail. He struggled with addiction. He had a slew of drug charges, amongst plenty of other charges that landed him behind bars, quite often leaving Leslie to care for the two young girls alone. Leslie fell into depression and started abusing alcohol, which eventually led her to becoming addicted to prescription pain medication. While Leslie struggled with her addiction, that left little Christina, who was just 2 years older than Shelby, to care for her baby sister. Because of her addiction and Leslie getting into trouble with the law, CPS got involved with the family and began monitoring what was going on. As the girls got older, Christina continued to care and nurture her baby sister. She began working to make sure that she could provide food for them. She made sure that Shelby was waking up every morning and going to school. Anything that Shelby needed, Christina always made sure to get it for her. And I just want to stop right here and say, I admire Christina so much. Growing up dealing with parents who are addicts and having so much going on in your life and seeing and hearing unspeakable things obviously is tremendously hard. But she woke up every single day choosing to fight against that and to protect and provide for her baby sister. And she continues to fight for Shelby to this day. Growing up, the girls were moved around quite a bit, and as I mentioned earlier, CPS was monitoring things, and they eventually stepped in and put the girls into foster care. Sadly, it was during this time that Christina was sexually abused while in foster care. Eventually, their father, Robert, got himself back on track and had worked hard to earn the rights to the girls back. At the ages of 13 and 11, the girls went back into his care, and though this seemed like things were going to get better for the girls, it actually only got worse. Robert began sexually abusing both girls. In 2006, for whatever reason, Robert and Leslie's rights to Christina were taken away, and she was pushed back into the foster care system. I'm not really sure why they lost their rights completely for Christina and not Shelby. You would think that if they had done something bad enough to lose rights to one child, they would for the other, but that was not the case. So while Christina was pushed through the foster care system once more, Shelby was stuck living with the monster that she called Dad. Both girls would eventually become pregnant as young teens. Since Christina was just 15 years old and in the foster system, custody of her newborn son was given to Robert. While Robert was caring for Christina's son, he began trafficking Shelby and forcing her to have sex with random people for money. It was Christina who turned him in for the abuse that was taking place and ultimately got Robert, their father, arrested. It also came to light during this time that he had been having an inappropriate relationship with a different 14-year-old girl, and he was charged with that as well. After his arrest, Shelby went to a doctor's appointment where she found out that she had not only gotten chlamydia during one of these forced sexual encounters, but she also was pregnant at just 14 years old. Shelby tried everything she could to be the best mom to her son. And because she was in the foster system, that meant the baby was placed into a foster home away from her. Despite that, she wanted so badly to break the cycle and to be good to her baby. But as time went on, she realized that the best thing that she could do for her son is let the foster family who had been taking care of him adopt him. This was extremely hard for Shelby to give up her baby. I can only imagine the pain and the heartache that went into that decision, but it truly was the ultimate sacrifice that she made. She wanted the absolute best for her son, and choosing to allow the family to adopt him was the most selfless thing that she could do. I admire her strength and selflessness for that decision. What a brave young girl she was. Through all of this, Shelby and Christina leaned on each other for comfort and support. And in 2012, when their mother died at the age of 38, the girls took it very hard. They didn't have the best upbringing and Leslie struggled to be a good parent, but she was still their mom. And so this loss was extremely hard. These girls were resilient, and as each one of them aged out of the foster care system, they fought for a better life. And I admire the heck out of them for that. When Shelby aged out of the system, she had major goals and dreams and began taking classes to become a CNA. But life has a funny way of throwing curveballs, and in 2014, Shelby found out that she was pregnant again. This pregnancy, she was excited for. She knew that this time, things would be different for her, and Shelby and the baby's father excitedly named this baby, which was a girl, Sabrina. As things in the pregnancy progressed, Shelby learned that the baby had a weak heartbeat and wasn't going to make it. She had to have a DNC. This was devastating for Shelby, and mentally she was struggling. I can imagine how it just felt like one thing after another for her, and I think anyone in her situation would feel the depression and the mental struggle she felt. Obesity was something that Shelby struggled with throughout her life, but especially when she hit rock bottom in her depression. At one point, she weighed over 300 pounds, and she knew that she needed to change. So Shelby decided to get motivated and lose weight. She started focusing on what she was eating, she was hitting the gym on a regular schedule, and all around she was doing better. Through hard work and dedication, Shelby lost 180 pounds and gained so much confidence. In photos of Shelby, you can see the shift in her confidence. Her smiles got brighter and she just looked so much happier. She was feeling beautiful and set a new goal for herself to become a model. Since Shelby had lost 180 pounds, she had the typical loose skin that comes with such a big weight loss. She tried everything she could to get rid of or minimize the loose skin, such as waist training, among other things, but unfortunately, that just wasn't enough. Since she wanted to become a model, she knew that she needed to get rid of the skin, so she decided that the best option for her to reach her goal would be to have a tummy tuck as well as a breast lift. If you've ever looked into these types of surgeries, then you know how costly they can be. I'm talking probably close to $20,000, if not more, depending on the surgeon. Shelby eventually picked up her life and moved to Houston, Texas to follow her goals and dreams of becoming a model. And it was there that she made friends with a girl who was working as an escort. And Shelby saw how much money she was making and wanted to start working as an escort as well to save money quickly for her surgeries. And her plan was to stop as soon as she made enough money. Shelby began using a website called Backpage, where escorts and sex workers would post ads to meet clients. And it was with this friend that Shelby first got in trouble with the law. She was arrested for soliciting sex after she met up with an undercover cop posing as a client from Backpage. Shelby had to spend 30 days in jail, and she also had to pay a fine. However, this did not stop her, and she continued to work as an escort for easy money. In 2014, she met a man by the name of Marcus Dwayne Johnson, who went by Mark D. He was older than Shelby, and he seemed to really shower her with things. He took her on lavish vacations to the Bahamas, Hollywood, and Las Vegas. And in all of the pictures online, they appeared to be a happy, smiling couple. But things online, as we all know, and on social media, aren't always what they appear to be. And Mark D was not actually Shelby's boyfriend, but instead he was her pimp. Now, I'm not sure if that's how the relationship started between them. I'm not sure if it was always a pimp relationship or if they truly were an item at one point. But whatever took place between them, Mark D eventually became her pimp. It isn't uncommon, though, for these pimps to start by dating these women to make them feel comfortable. They shower them with gifts and other things, and then eventually they manipulate them into these awful situations. Again, I'm not sure of the full dynamic of their relationship, but at the time of Shelby's murder, Mark D was her pimp. and she was making him a lot of money. And not only that, but she was also recruiting new women for him. Shelby became what is referred to as the bottom bitch. And excuse my language, but that name is given to the top sex worker for a pimp. The bottom bitch usually makes the most money for the pimp and has been with him the longest. The bottom bitch also brings in new girls and shows them the ropes on how to make money. It didn't take long for Shelby's family to start to suspect that something was up. She was open with her family about working as an escort, and when they started to question if she was having sex with these clients, she always denied it, saying that she was strictly just an escort going on expensive dates with lonely men. And even though Shelby said one thing, her family didn't believe it and felt that she was having sex with clients for money. They tried to encourage her to leave Mark D and to get away from the escorting or sex work lifestyle. But she refused and continued to reassure her sister and aunt that she wasn't having sex with clients and she was just trying to make money for her surgery. And there was literally nothing that they could do. Shelby was an adult. In 2015, Shelby was living in an apartment in Southwest Houston, Texas. This apartment wasn't in the best part of town, but there was a little bit of added security because to use the elevators, you had to be buzzed in or buzzed up. But the lobby was open to anyone to come and go. They just couldn't get up to the individual apartment doors without being buzzed up in the elevator. A lot of times people in sex work will go and meet clients at different places, but Shelby allowed them to come to her personal space. Inside the small apartment, she had her bedroom, which from my understanding, she kept private. That was her own little private corner, and instead of allowing her clients to go in there, she instead would do her work in the living room, where she had a twin-sized bed set up for work. This allowed her to have a private space and her workspace all in one small apartment. Now, in June of 2015, Shelby was arrested and charged with solicitation for sex again. This was obviously worrisome for her because this was her second charge. She was worried that she was going to face tougher consequences and was working with a lawyer to hopefully get those charges dropped. But instead of putting her sex work and escort services on hold while that stuff got worked out and sorted out, she continued to take clients. She was so excited on November 4th, 2015, when she was able to put down a deposit for her surgery. Shelby had her surgeon picked out. She was getting closer and closer to having her tummy tuck and breast lift done. Life was going really well for her, and she went in on that day to pay a $1,000 deposit to her surgeon, securing her spot on their calendar. Sadly, though, Shelby would never get her surgery.
Five years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
On the evening of November 4th, 2015, 20-year-old Shelby Thornburg had just put a deposit down on her tummy tuck surgery. After dropping the money off at the surgeon's office, she went back to her apartment and took a shower to begin preparing for a client that she was having later that night. After her shower, she briefly spoke on the phone to her aunt, but couldn't talk long because she needed to finish getting ready for the client that Mark D. set up for her. Which that is how Mark D. and Shelby operated. He set up the clients and then she handled the business. Just after 8 p.m., Shelby got a text message from the client saying that he would be there in 20 minutes. At 8:33 p.m., she got another text from the client saying, "Hey, I'm here." At 8:40 p.m., Shelby texted Mark D. the word G-U-D, or good. This was her way of telling him that all was well, client was there, and they had paid. An hour later, Mark D. tried to reach out to Shelby because he hadn't heard from her yet. Typically, she would send the good text when the client arrived, and then she would reach out to him again when the client left. But an hour had passed by, and she never said a word. When he couldn't get a hold of her, he decided to go over to the apartment complex and check on her. He let himself into the apartment with his key and made a gruesome discovery. Shelby was lying naked, face down on the mattress. The entire mattress was soaked with blood. I'm talking literally soaked. Soaked completely through the mattress and had formed a large pool of blood on the floor beneath the bed frame. There was also blood that had been sprayed on the walls. Mark D. called 911 telling the dispatcher that somebody had killed his girl. From the start, it seems like the officers investigating the case kind of handled it poorly. They didn't seem overly cautious with the scene, allowing many, many officers come and go to view the scene. They didn't treat the elevator as if it held potential evidence. They also touched Shelby's apartment door before they could even process it. But when Detective Dustin Crowder arrived on scene, he began locking it down so people couldn't potentially ruin any evidence. Crime scene investigators and the medical examiner came in and started to process the scene. Without physically touching or moving Shelby, they determined that she had a massive slash across her throat, which nearly decapitated her. From the positioning of her body and the blood spray evidence at the scene, they came to the conclusion that Shelby had been kneeling on the bed when whoever came up behind her and cut her throat violently from left to right. They were able to collect two hairs from Shelby's back that didn't appear to belong to her. Both were dark in color and Shelby had blonde hair. After running DNA analysis on the hair, they found that one of the hairs belonged to a female, while the other belonged to a man. Both hairs were put into CODIS, but no match came up. Now, I'm sure most listening are familiar with what CODIS is, but if you're not, CODIS is the Combined DNA Index System. It's a computer software program that operates local, state, and national databases of DNA profiles from convicted offenders, unsolved crime scene evidence, and missing persons cases. Those who have been arrested and convicted of felonies have their DNA put into CODIS. It helps solve crimes by comparing new DNA evidence from crime scenes or rape kits to DNA that is already in the database. But if someone hasn't ever been arrested and convicted of a felony, they won't be in there. So while it's helpful to catch people who already committed a crime, if someone has never been caught or in trouble before, it won't be too helpful. but it will store unmatched DNA profiles in the chance that someone might get arrested in the future and connected to an unsolved crime. It is an incredible tool that has solved many, many crimes. They also collected other evidence at the scene, such as condom wrappers, among other things. Shelby's body was sent off for a full autopsy, and they found that Shelby had a 5-inch cut across her neck. It appeared that she may have had some sort of defensive wounds on her neck and shoulder area, which could have been consistent with her reaching up to try and grab the knife and/or stop it, but she was obviously unable to. It also appeared that the knife that was used was extremely sharp, with no ragged edges or serrations. The cut was one large, swift slice that went through all of her soft tissues and muscles, the jugular, carotid artery, the trachea, and esophagus. The investigators have since determined that whoever did this to Shelby likely had specialized training, such as law enforcement, military, or maybe even medical, because the cut was so precise. The medical examiner noted that it did appear that Shelby had had consensual sex and that it didn't appear that she had been sexually assaulted. Now, the apartment complex did have surveillance cameras in the lobby of the building. There was a man that entered the apartment building at 8:34 p.m. As I mentioned earlier, Shelby received a text from her client at 8:33 p.m. saying he was there. So they believe that this was their guy. This man can be seen lingering in the lobby for about a minute before going up the elevator and out of surveillance view. At 8:57 p.m., 23 minutes later, the man is seen in the lobby leaving. As we know, Shelby texted Mark D. Good at 8:40 p.m., so there was a 17-minute gap between Shelby being alive and well to this man leaving the building. This man appears to be a white male wearing a light-colored long-sleeve shirt. His shorts appear to be a khaki color. He's wearing tennis shoes, and conveniently, even though it was well after 8 p.m. and dark outside, he's wearing sunglasses when he's both entering and exiting the building. When looking at the footage of him leaving the building, he doesn't appear to have a speck of blood on him, and the scene was an extremely bloody scene, making the investigators believe that he was likely naked when he violently took Shelby's life. They also noted that when this man is leaving the building, his left hand never leaves his pocket, where before, when he entered the building, he had both of his hands swinging at his sides. So they believe that it is a possibility that during the attack, he injured his own hand, and that is why he has it in his pocket. Christina received the tragic call at 4 a.m. on November 5th, and she was devastated by the news that her baby sister that she loved so dearly was gone, and she vowed that she would do whatever it took to make sure that she got justice. And Christina has never once given up hope and given up the fight for answers. Naturally, the first person that the authorities were looking at was Marcus Dwayne Johnson, since he claimed that he was her boyfriend. It quickly became apparent to the authorities that Mark D. was not quite a boyfriend, but more so her boss. And they were dumbfounded by the fact that Mark couldn't tell them who this man was that he scheduled to meet with Shelby. Mark D. was eventually eliminated as a suspect because he had a solid alibi. The authorities knew that Shelby had been texting the man, and they were able to track the cell phone, but that led them to another dead end. The number that had been texting Shelby was traced back to belonging to a burner phone that had been purchased at a Walmart a month prior to Shelby's murder. Unfortunately, the phone had been purchased with cash, and by the time the authorities were able to link the phone to the store, the surveillance footage had already been cleared. They did find that though the phone had been purchased a month prior to her murder, it wasn't activated until a week before she was killed. Also, the location of the pings from the phone when it was finally activated was never at any one location. It was often near Shelby's apartment complex or out on public roadways, which this makes me believe that, again, whoever did this had some serious knowledge of investigative work. They were smart enough to not turn this phone on while they were at home. The investigators also found that the Backpage account that was used to connect with Mark D for Shelby had been posting ads looking for a small, petite blonde to link up with. Which, this is exactly Shelby. She was 5'1" and at her lowest weight at that time. Now, even though the authorities had this CCTV footage of the suspect, they didn't release this for over 4 months. I don't understand their reasoning for holding on to this for so long. I feel like if they felt like this was a serious suspect and the person that they were looking for, they would have wanted that pumped out to the media ASAP, but they held on to it for 4 months. There's no saying if this man was local or not. I just feel like it may have been more helpful to pump that information out there sooner, but maybe they have their reasons for not. A reward was offered for information leading to an arrest, yet no real serious leads were phoned in. This man is still out there wandering the streets going about his daily life as if nothing had happened. Of course, with an unsolved case comes a lot of speculation. Many thought that somehow Mark D was involved, but considering Shelby was his top girl, that just doesn't seem that plausible to me. What would be his reasoning for wanting her dead when she was generating him a lot of income plus recruiting new girls into the sex work life? Others speculate that maybe there was a hit out on Shelby. As I mentioned earlier, she was working with a lawyer to get her charges dropped from her second arrest. Had she made a deal with the police to become a confidential informant, and this somehow got out that she was doing this and got her killed? A lot of people lean toward this as the reason for her murder because in the weeks before her murder and the weeks after, several known trafficking rings in the area surrounding where Shelby lived got busted. But the investigators have never confirmed if Shelby had become a CI. Instead, they think it's a high possibility that Shelby was killed by a serial killer. The FBI has released that they believe this person who killed Shelby has ties to Texas, where she was killed, but also New Orleans. I didn't find information on why they think he is somehow linked to New Orleans, but the fact that they put that out there makes me believe that they likely have more information than they are releasing to the public. The fact that this man was using Backpage to find a small, petite blonde could further prove that it was a serial killer looking for his specific type of woman. But a lot of people don't agree with the serial killer theory because of the fact that this was a quick in-and-out job. They feel that usually a serial killer will take their time. They'll stay at the scene longer to get their high and enjoy the moment. And so people once more think that the fact that this was done so quickly and precisely, leaving minimal evidence behind, goes more with the theory that it was a hitman. I want to briefly circle back to those hairs that were found at the scene. A lot of people wonder if they can do genealogical testing on these hairs, and I keep seeing and hearing differing things on this. I've seen that the sample isn't enough to do that, and I've also seen them say that there isn't funding to do that. I'm really not sure, but I do hope that this is something that they could potentially do in the future. We are seeing so many crimes being solved with genealogical testing and familial DNA. It's absolutely amazing. So the more crimes that can be solved using that, the better. And I hope this is one of those cases. It's already been nearly 9 years since her murder. That's 9 long years of no answers. And I can only imagine how that feels like torture for Shelby's loved ones. Christina is fighting tirelessly for answers, and I feel like there just isn't enough coverage on this case. Some other incredible creators have helped bring awareness to this case. There's a YouTuber named Gavin Fish that has done amazing, amazing things for this case. He also uncovered some information and has also enhanced the stills from the CCTV footage of the suspect. I will link his stuff in the description of this episode if you're wanting to look further into what he has done for this case. I do just want to mention, though, that I feel like had Shelby had a different occupation, that this would be shared all over the news and social media. People who are murdered or go missing that don't have the quote-unquote typical lifestyle or have a troubled past often get passed over for coverage. It's a complete shame that this happens. These are people who have loved ones, and despite their life choices, they do not deserve to be murdered. It's a disgusting mentality to think like that, and I refuse to allow these victims to be treated like anything less than worthy. They deserve answers and justice as much as anyone else. This case is completely solvable. The surveillance footage is clear. Someone out there knows who this man is, and if he is a serial killer, there could be more victims. The more awareness to this case, the better the chances are for finding such a violent killer. The least we can do as true crime consumers and true crime sleuths, if you will, is share. Share, share, share. Someone knows this man, and it just takes that video or still shots from that video to fall into the right person's lap. With the lack of coverage and awareness on the case, the harder it's going to be to get that man's picture plastered across the media. So let's all band together and do our small part and share this episode or share pictures of this man that you see. Go like the Facebook pages and share their posts. Share other creators' stuff, but let's just continue to share this story. I will have my public post shared into the private Facebook group. That way you can find it and share it as well. By sharing, you're not only helping get the word out there about this violent killer and Shelby's story, but you're potentially saving other possible victims. You're also letting Christina know that her sister isn't forgotten. Her sister matters, and that there are people near and far that are strangers that want answers for Shelby too. It lets her know that she is far from alone in this awful situation that she's in. There is a Facebook page that I will have linked in the description of this episode. It's called Support Team Shelby. This page is ran by Christina, and she shares information and pictures on there of her sister. Please go and give the page a like and a follow. Show her that even 9 years later, there are a team of people that are here to fight alongside her for answers for Shelby. Shelby was just 20 years old when she was taken from this world. She had goals and dreams. She was a beautiful and bright, bubbly person, despite the horrific trauma she had been through. She deserved so much more than the life she was given, yet she pushed through and kept a smile on her beautiful face. If you or anyone you know has information about Shelby Thornburg's murder, you can call 713-222-8477. You can also text the word TIP 610 to 274-637. There are a few other ways to report information, and I will have all of these listed as well in the description of this episode. If you're not in my private Facebook group, you can join by searching Crime with Holly Podcast Discussion Group. In there, I share all information and pictures pertaining to the cases that I cover, and I also encourage all members to share all things true crime. You can also follow me over on Instagram at CrimeAHolly, and if you would like more true crime content, you can follow me on TikTok at crimewithholly.podcast. Thank you guys for listening to Shelby's story. Please consider sharing it and the pictures that I share. We truly never know who might see it and realize they have information. That is all for this week's episode. Until next time, be aware and take care. Bye-bye.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.